When Jane Skeldon first entered the room, she started to cry. She and her partner, Bonnie Hughes, were drawn to the powerful emotions there. So they got to work.
Bonnie taped a camera down right here. We get what in the paranormal world is called the Holy Grail, a full body apparition. This was a really tall figure, literally comes out of the wall.
Now, I've seen the video, and it totally made my skin crawl. Here's Jane again.
And my brother, who works for a television station, has put this video on his big equipment. And when he ran it backwards just to do it again, it disappears. So, in other words, it doesn't behave in a normal shadow or video kind of way.
So what do you think it is?
I don't know what it is.
That's Bonnie.
We think it's the apparition of a woman. The way she comes out from the wall and turns to look at us, it's like she's letting us know she's here, and then she's gone.
She presents herself to us like, okay, I'm going to trust you all.
I feel it's self-explanatory.
That's Cora Sue Barrett. She grew up right down the road.
I really feel these entities, as we are calling them, are reaching out. I'm really feeling this. Not so much the coal barons, but what we used to call the little people, the forgotten people.
Cora Sue's convinced that these are real people who are trying to bring closure to their past. At Whipple, the past itself is unsettled. Right now, the stories of Esau Scrip and of women who traded sex acts for new shoes, they're caught in limbo. These are brutal stories, and they cry out. But then you have historians who say, where's the proof? Historians probe the past based on what they can see and verify. But history as it's told at the Whipple Company store is much harder to see. Like the apparition in the video, there's something there. But what?
People behave based on their emotions.
That's Wes Harris, a frequent visitor to the store who studies West Virginia's labor history. As the tour winds up, we go out onto the porch and we talk about what happened that night.
And the intensity of feelings that have come out of this building are magnifying when I take the stories out of this building onto Main Street. They're horrible stories, they're anger stories, they're sad stories. And notably among the women as well as the men. And the people I tell them to respond, I'm angry, or I'm sad, or I'm ticked off. That doesn't happen when you read a textbook. To me, that's incredibly important because I've certainly got a background as in the academic realm, but I've also got a background as an organizer. And it's the spirit of those who have gone before us that if we don't have it, we don't go forward. People are responding, and they're wanting to see these stories saved, this building saved, and they want it for their kids. And so that's why I keep coming back to this building, is it's getting me in the gut, and it's getting other people in the gut, and if you want to have a better life for your kids and grandkids, that's where you got to get folks. Who will be the one who
will decide? On that last point, at least, historian Dr. Paul Rakes can agree. True location.
Oral history has its value, obviously. It reminds a culture of difficult times, and it reminds youngsters in particular of what the generations before had to endure for them to have the better situation they have at a given time. It actually enables folks to make the point more clearly.
The point being, in this case, of course, oppression. It's a point that hasn't been lost on Cora Sue.
What is the old word? It behooves me to know such tragedies happen and there's never been closure on it. And that the coal barons really got away with a lot of stuff. They lined pockets, just like they do today, you know. The miners worked and died so they could have and enjoy. So I think justice needs to come forth how can you not question and say, there is really something to this? And I don't know that there's quote-unquote hauntings. I just think there's something there for us to learn, to study, and to know about.
And that statement, that very, very vague statement, is ultimately where we settle. How can you not question? There is something to this. I've come to view Whipple, the building, as a mirror for how we see our past. Like most sites of historical importance, it's full of numerous and sometimes conflicting significances. And it's haunted by questions, crying out for investigation. And so I call on you, dear listener, to become a part of that history. Visit for yourself. Listen, question, reflect. If these stories are alive in your family, come forward and tell them. And if you're a historian, look further. Consider alternatives. After all, even scientists will agree that just because you can't see a thing doesn't mean it's not there. For West Virginia Public Radio, this is Catherine Moore reporting from the gaping mouth of Whipple Company Store in Fayette County, West Virginia. Special thanks today to the Whipple Company Store and Museum, Teresa Burris, Bill Kovarik, Michael Klein, Sam Petzonk, and Cyrus Foreman.